All right, let's turn to 2 Kings chapter number 3 tonight in our Bible study. 2 Kings chapter number 3. It's the last time we were looking at how unholy alliances bring trouble. And we saw how that an otherwise godly king, Jehoshaphat of Judah, joined in yet another unholy alliance with the wicked king, Jehoram of Israel, and an unnamed king of Edom to battle the Moabites who had rebelled against the king of Israel. And just not a good thing to do. There was no sane reason for him to do that. And there was no seeking of the Lord to see if this was something he should have done. It wasn't something he should have done. And so these three kings went 7 days chasing after Moab and ran out of water. And we left off last week in verse number 10 with the assessment by the wicked king Jehoram of Israel, where he, look at what he says there, 2 Kings 3:10, and the king of Israel said, "Alas, that the Lord hath called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab." Now that comes from the mouth of a wicked king. He sees that maybe the Lord's not pleased with them. So it's not that all three of them didn't deserve to be handed over to Moab. They did deserve that. But we're going to see that God lays it on Elisha's heart, what he, the Lord, will do to rescue all of these guys and their troops. See, not only are they in trouble, but each one of them have troops that they're carried into battle against Moab, and all the troops are in trouble, too. Let's take a look at verse number 11 is where we'll begin, and we'll read as we go along here. We're going to finish up this chapter tonight. Let's begin with verse number 11 and the first part of verse 12. As we see, first of all here, we see Jehoshaphat call for a prophet of the Lord. Verse number 11 said, "But Jehoshaphat said, Is there not here a prophet of the Lord, that we may inquire of the Lord by him? And one of the king of Israel's servants answered and said, Here is Elisha, the son of Shaphat, which poured water on the hands of Elijah. And Jehoshaphat said, The word of the Lord is with him." And so we see here, this is what Jehoshaphat should have done before the journey. Amen. I mean, you ever set out to do something without seeking the Lord before? And you know, sometimes it can be, oh, I got this. You know, I can handle this. I don't need to pray about this. No need to bother the Lord with it. Philippians 4, verse number 6 says, "But in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." So when you set out without the Lord's counsel, and then get in over your head, which is what they've done, that's when you figure out you've made a grave mistake by not praying and seeking the Lord first. And so, what they're doing is a good thing, but it'd have been better had they done it earlier. It's better to seek the Lord first, but better late than never, amen? But that's the scenario that we have here. Secondly, there in the latter part of verse number 12, we see that the prophet Elisha was in the area where they were. Figure that. Look at verse 12 again. "And Jehoshaphat said, The word of the Lord is with him. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom went down to him." My, what a coincidence. You know, there's really no such thing as a coincidence. In our sight, there is. But the Lord had it to be this way. The Lord had Elisha here for the very purpose of to exalt his name. Now, the third thing we see is found in verse 13 and 14. We see the prophet Elisha didn't really want anything to do with the king of Israel or the king of Edom. Imagine that. Two wicked kings. He didn't want anything to do with them. Look at verse 13 and 14. "And Elisha said unto the king of Israel, What have I to do with thee? Get thee to the prophets of thy father and to the prophets of thy mother. And the king of Israel said unto him, Nay, For the Lord hath called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab. And Elisha said, As the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, surely, were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, I would not look toward thee, nor see thee. Talk about getting raked over the coals here. Elisha addressed the wicked king of Israel first. In so many words, he's telling him here, what in the world are you doing here seeking counsel from a prophet of God? He said, I ain't got nothing to do with your type. Why don't you go back and ask your daddy and mama's gods what you should do? He's referring you to Baal. And because that's who Ahab and Jezebel served, was Baal. Then we see the king of Israel made an interesting comment there in the latter part of verse 13. He was essentially acknowledging his opinion again that the Lord has brought these three kings together to deliver them over to Moab. That's what it says in verse 10. How did he figure out that it wasn't his gods that was going to deliver, that was having them to be given over to Moab? Well, his gods weren't gods at all. You think he realizes that the Lord is God, but he just didn't want to serve him anyway? You know, a lot of people know that God's real, but they don't want nothing to do with him. They serve their own gods. They have their lives steeped in idolatry. Now, covetousness is idolatry too. Yeah. Not idolatry where you're bowing down before an idol. The idolatry in our day is that materialism, things. People worship things. And they've got to have their things. And if it takes forgetting about God to have their things, they'll do that. Now, after the king of Israel made his statement, Elisha told him that if it wasn't for Jehoshaphat, he wouldn't even regard his presence, that he wouldn't look in his direction, and that he wouldn't even see him. I want you to note how the king of Israel and the king of Edom, they didn't want to acknowledge the Lord in their lives except when they got into trouble and needed him to get them out. Yeah. Sadly, that's the position of way too many people in the world. I experience it all the time as a pastor. Have in the whole time that I've been in the ministry. Sadly, folks, they don't want anything to do with the Lord or His house or His people until they need something or want something. You know? Preacher, can you help us with the rent? Who are you? You ever been to our church? Do you know anybody in our church? You know? Normally, they don't know anybody. They haven't showed up to a service. Used to be. Early in the early days of my ministry, people would have the decency at least to come to church and ask for help. You hardly ever see that anymore. I can't tell you, you know, how many times people call or even show up at my door and want help, but they're not willing to come to a church service. They want help with rent, help with utility bills, help with food, help with a marriage ceremony. Preacher, could you marry it? Me and my girlfriend, we want to get married tonight. Wait a minute. I don't marry anybody that's not affiliated with a church. And they have to go through I have a 5-week counseling that they got to go through before I'll even consider to marry them. And folks want help with a funeral. I will help with a funeral. You know, the people that I don't know, just to have the opportunity to preach the gospel. Help with sickness, you know, help with a prayer need of some sort, or help with whatever. You don't want anything to do with God until trouble comes along the way. Fourth thing we see here is we see the prophet of Elisha asked for some music to be played in verse number 15. Can you tell that Elisha's probably not in the best mood right now? Huh? I mean, When you get his response there to the king of Israel, you can kind of figure out that he is probably needs an attitude adjustment, and He says in verse number 15, "But now bring me a minstrel." Now that word minstrel is talking about someone who strums strings. And we're thinking about a harp here. "It came to pass when the minstrel played that the hand of the Lord came upon him." So, you know, I think just the presence of these two wicked kings asking for the Lord's help was enough to put the prophet in a bad state of mind. When you're in a bad state of mind, it's tough to get where you need to get in order to hear from the Lord. And he called for someone to play stringed music. And as I said, the word there, minstrel, implies it probably was a harp, but to help put him in a frame of mind in which he could readily discern the Lord's will. Now, we've seen harp playing before. David strummed the harp to get get Saul out of the bad mood. Remember that in our studies in 1 Samuel? Well, number five thing we see here. We see the word of the Lord about the water is revealed by Elisha. See, water is what they need. Look at verses number 16 to 17. And here's what the Lord had to say here. And he said, "Thus saith the Lord, make this valley full of ditches." Not just dig a ditch. Make it full of ditches. Now, look at verse 17. "For thus saith the Lord, ye shall not see wind, neither shall ye see rain, yet that valley shall be filled with water, that ye may drink, both ye and your cattle and your beasts." Now, I want you to think about this. You see what the prophet told them that the Lord wanted them to do? Here, all of these men who have traveled hard for 7 days, they are no doubt hot and tired. But worst of all, they're out of water, which means they are probably thirsty. You ever tried to work when you're thirsty? Especially digging a ditch. I mean, you want some water when you're digging a ditch, I guarantee you. Now, we're not told how long they had been out of water, but it seemed to be a desperate situation here. They were already worn out and weary, and God said that He wanted them to dig ditches. Now, understand, the Lord said no wind. That means there's no breeze either. If I'm outside digging a ditch, it's nice to have a breeze in it. They got to dig a ditch without breeze, no rain. Well, how are they going to get water? Well, the Lord's going to put the water in there. And it's not going to be because of rain. Wait a minute. Why did they have to dig ditches? Why did they have to do that? And I want you to listen to me very closely, because the Lord said so. That's it. Because the Lord said so. You might say, well, but you just said in verse 17 there wouldn't be storms or rain. That's right, but there'll be water in the ditches because the Lord said so. And they had to have faith in the word of the Lord and lay aside all their self-sufficiency and obey what the Lord told them to do if they wanted water. They had to dig ditches or God couldn't fill them. God said He's going to fill the ditches with water. Well, if He's going to fill the ditches with water, how much water do you want? You've got to dig enough ditches, right? When you got all these men, and you got all the cattle, and everything they're riding, everything they got with them that's got to have water, you better dig some ditches. And I want you to get this. The Lord responds to us when we obey His word. Putting faith into action, and that's the principle that's taught here. Don't just say you have faith, show your faith. Do you believe God that's going to fill the ditch? When He tells you to dig the ditch, well, if you think He's going to fill a ditch, dig the ditch. The Apostle James said in James 2:18, "Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works." Now, he said there, "Thus saith the Lord, make this valley full of ditches." Now, I don't know about you, but that sounds a little strange to me, right? Doesn't make any rational sense if you try to figure it out. Doesn't make any rational sense. When we think about it from a human standpoint, we can't figure out why the Lord would say this. It probably didn't make a lot of sense to most of these men either. Can't you imagine some of the objections that these three kings heard? Now, wait a minute, Your Highness. We just want our containers refilled with water and water for our horses. We don't want to dig ditches. We just want it to rain. We don't want to have to dig ditches. Well, if you want water, you got to dig ditches. It didn't make sense on a human level. In fact, it sounded ridiculous. And I want you to notice something here, though. As we study this passage of Scripture, we can see that, number one, the Lord's plan for us sometimes doesn't make sense to us. It's a lot of times when the Lord moves on us to do something, just doesn't make sense. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but to us which are saved is the power of God." You know, does believing in a man that got nailed on a cross make sense? Not to a lost and dying world, it don't. Do you figure out, hey, he got up out of that grave. He arose. And if you want life, you're going to have to believe on Him. Now, a second thing here is the Lord's plan for us requires our absolute obedience to what He tells us to do. These men just wanted to have water, and they wanted to have water all of a sudden. Am I right? I mean, I'm sure they would love Moses to be around, and Moses just speak to a rock, and water just start flowing out of a rock. I mean, that's kind of what they were hoping for, the kind of miracle they were hoping for. They would have preferred that the Lord use the wind to blow in a storm, and it rained down on them. And that's probably what they were looking for. That's probably why the Lord told Elisha to tell them, there's not going to be any wind, there's not going to be any rain. Don't be looking for that. Dig ditches, and I'll fill them. They'd have loved to have water on their terms. There's a lot of times that we would love to have our way in things, but it's not the Lord's way. And that wasn't the Lord's plan for them. He required them to be obedient to His Word. If they wanted water, they had to get busy and dig ditches in the valley. Now, too many folks want the blessing of the Lord without having to be obedient to Him in any way. That is not the Lord's way. I mean, there's a lot of times folks come looking for help, and I say, you know, you come to a service, you know, we'll see what we can do. If I can't tell them what I'm going to do, they won't show up. Now, we'll get you some help. I can't tell you right now how much help we'll be able to give you, but if you'll come to a service, we'll get you some help. Too many folks want blessing of the Lord without having to be obedient to Him in any way, but that's not the Lord's way. These folks had to have enough faith in the Lord to provide the water so that they obeyed their part in digging the ditches. Now, I imagine these two heathen kings probably had a little bit of convincing to do to get their guys to start digging ditches, don't you think? I mean, who's a strange God? Who's the Lord? We don't serve the Lord. That's not the one that you have us to bow down to. Yeah. Now, when the Lord tells us to do something, we need to just get busy and do it, don't we? Now, I'm not saying we just need to be busy about anything. It must be what the Lord wants us to do. So the Lord's plan for us sometimes doesn't make sense to us. The Lord's plan for us requires our absolute obedience to what He tells us to do. And then, thirdly, the Lord's plan for us tests our trust in Him. Look at verse 20. Now, we're going to come back and read some of the other verses here in a minute, but I wanted to skip down to verse 20. "And it came to pass in the morning, when the meat offering was offered, that behold, there came water by the way of Edom, and the country was filled with water." The country was filled with water. Them ditches were full of water. In fact, I believe they were overflowing with water. And I'll show you why I think that here in just a minute. But if you trust, then you obey. And I love the song. I grew up singing the song, "Trust and Obey, for there's no other way." Amen. And that's true. Trust and obey. So did you see that? When these men did what the Lord told them to do, when they did something that may have sounded foolish, when they were obedient to what the Lord said, then the Lord supplied them with more water than they thought they needed. And the Lord filled these ditches with water. Now, He did that with a supernatural power. Who made the water to begin with? The Lord. He made it all, didn't he? No problem for him. Now, if these men had decided that this sounded silly and they weren't going to do it, if these men had decided that they didn't need to spend their time digging these ditches, do you think that God would have provided them with water? Nope, not at all. Because the Lord told them that they would dig the ditches and He would fill them with water. And that's exactly what He did. And sometimes it's hard for us in this sinful flesh to put that kind of trust in the Lord, but we must trust the Lord that completely. Or we may believe that He can supply for us, but oftentimes it is the way He chooses to supply that leaves us in wonder of Him. If you ever, the Lord ever surprise you, I mean, maybe He put it on your heart to give some money that you really couldn't afford to give. You know, you needed that money next week, and then the Lord came back and gave you the money. And that ever happened to you? It's happened to us so many times. Just obey the Lord. Now, this is not the only time where the Lord's commands didn't make sense. I mean, Moses speaking to a rock didn't make sense. Striking a rock didn't make sense. Children of Israel told what they needed to do to win the battle of Jericho didn't make sense. Jesus' command there at Lazarus' grave to roll the stone away didn't make sense. You know, there's a lot of times when the Lord didn't make sense, but He showed Himself powerful in each of those cases. Now, we see their obedience to the Lord regarding the water was tied to their victory over Moab. And this is important, okay? If they had not been obedient in digging the ditches, they would have not had the victory in the battle. Look at verse 18. We'll go back to where we're at here. Verse number 18. And this is what Elisha said. And this is but a light thing in the sight of the Lord. You're talking about filling the ditches with water. This is but a light thing. I ain't no problem for the Lord. You dig the ditches, He's going to fill them with water. Not a problem. He will deliver the Moabites also into your hand. And ye shall smite every fenced city and every choice city and shall fill every good tree and stop all wells of water and mar every good piece of land with stones. And it came to pass in the morning when the meat offering was offered that, behold, there came water by way of Edom. The country was filled with water. And when all the Moabites heard that kings were come up to fight against them, notice this, they gathered all that were able to put on armor and upward and stood in the border. And they rose up early in the morning. Okay, got it, early in the morning. Here the Lord has filled those ditches. Notice, it says, and the sun shone upon the water. And the Moabites saw the water on the other side as red as blood. Now, how in the world did that happen? The Lord. Huh? The Lord. And they said, this is blood. The kings are surely slain. They have smitten one another. Now, therefore, Moab to the spoil. And you'll see them getting on their steeds and heading out. They're going, thinking they're going to clean up and get all the spoil from the battle. When they came to the camp of Israel, the Israelites rose up and smote the Moabites, so that they fled before them. But they went forward, smiting the Moabites, even in their country. And they beat down the cities, and on every good piece of land cast every man a stone and filled it. And they stopped all the wells of water and felled all the good trees. Only in Kir-Hasheth-Seth left they the stones thereof. Howbeit the slingers went about it and smote it. And when the king of Moab saw that the battle was too sore for him, he took with him 700 men that drew swords to break through even unto the king of Edom, but they could not. Then he took his eldest son that he should have reigned in his stead and offered him for a burnt offering on the wall. Shows you how wicked the Moabites were, right? And there was great indignation against Israel, and they departed from him and returned to their own land. So, Let's analyze this here. These three kings not only needed water, they needed to know if they were going to be successful in their endeavor against Moab, right? I mean, that's what they should have asked before going into battle. I have no doubt that the Lord would have told them, don't go to battle, if they'd asked beforehand. But now they're there, and the Lord, as gracious as He is, He's going to give them victory. But notice how that their obedience in the matter for water led not only to them obtaining water, but it led directly to the Lord giving them victory over Moab. If they hadn't dug the ditches in obedience to the word of the Lord, then they wouldn't have had the victory that they desired over Moab either. Neither one would have taken place. The Lord's power here exceeded their expectations. He used the water to confuse the Moabites. That's our Lord, isn't it? He does amazing things. The Moabites knew that there was no water down in that valley. They knew that area. They knew there was no water down there. And when they woke up that morning, they looked out, and the Bible says that the sun shone red on the water, and it looked like blood. And I said, that's nothing but the Lord. The Lord made it look that way. You know, sometimes things look strange depending on the angle that you look at it. And the Lord had the angle and the way the sun shone to make it look like blood to them. The Moabites thought that there had been a bloodbath. They thought that these three kings had fought against each other and destroyed each other, and they ran to get all the spoil and plunder. And the Lord used the water to both confuse and defeat the Moabites. The Lord handed the battle over to these three kings. In fact, the Lord allowed the Moabites to be defeated with very little effort. Now, the hardest thing that this army had to do was to obey the Lord and dig the ditches. And then the Lord took care of the rest. What did they want? Water. What did they get? Water and victory. The Lord will exceed our expectations every time if we'll just trust and obey. Are you willing to do something the Lord asks you to do, even if it makes absolutely no sense to you at all? That is what the people of the Bible did time and time again. The Bible's full of stories. Abraham left his home and headed out, not knowing where he was going. You know, I don't know about you, but when we get ready to go on a trip, we know which direction we're going. We know where we're headed. We know where we're going to end up at. Okay? Not Abraham. He didn't know which way he was going until, okay, Lord, which way you want me to go? Abraham also went to sacrifice his son Isaac, knowing that he was the son of the promises of God. Did it make any sense? Nope. He just going to go obey God, let God take care of it. And he did that, and of course we know the story there. But the Hall of Faith chapter, Hebrews 11, is full of these things that people did that made no sense to them except seeing through the eyes of faith. And that's what we need to do. We talked about faith, seeing through the eyes of faith, Sunday night. Amen. Maybe we're talking about this Sunday. I think I just finished that message. We're going to be seeing through the eyes of faith in Habakkuk. We saw a little bit, a glimpse of it from chapter 2 and verse number 4 there of Habakkuk. But we're going to be dealing with that in a much wider range. And I just worked on that message. I get confused sometimes whether it was a past message or one that's fixing to deliver to you. Amen. All right. Well, I appreciate you being here tonight. That's our Bible study for this evening. Let's pull back out the prayer list. We'll pray for the needs, and we'll be dismissed.